at the beginning of this new year, and today I believe is message number 4 in that series, and we come to Matthew chapter 3 beginning at 1. Matthew chapter 3, let's begin at 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Moving to verse 11, John said, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." A Christian named Bob Beasley wrote recently about his 3-year-old son witnessing his first baptism at church. Now, you might imagine a 3-year-old seeing baptism happen for the first time might have some questions, and this boy did. And he said, "Daddy, why did the preacher push that man down into the water?" And trying to keep it simple, Bob said to his little 3-year-old, "Well, the man had sinned, and that means the man had done bad things. And that's why the preacher pushed him down into the water." The little boy said, "Well, if he had done bad things, why didn't the preacher just spank him?" Why do we baptize? Rodney and Chris Brees went down into this water Wednesday night, and Chris was baptized. And the world sees that, and the world says, "How archaic, how outdated. I mean, baptism is like Dark Ages stuff. I mean, it's superstitious. It's silly. Why do it? Why do we continue to hold on to water baptism?" Well, let's think about that question this morning. Let's immerse ourselves into a study. See what I did there? Good morning, everybody. Let's immerse ourselves into a study of believers' baptism. Now, we'll use as our example John and Jesus here in this text, but I would remind you that Jesus' baptism has some similarities to ours, but remember that it also has some differences. And we're going to mention some of the similarities between Jesus' baptism and ours and some of the differences as we move through the text. Of course, the primary difference we'll say right up front is that Jesus had no sin to repent of. And so his baptism was more of an example for us to follow. With that in mind, and we'll mention more differences and similarities along the way, but let me say 5 brief things about biblical believers' baptism. Number one, baptism is important. Baptism is important. Here in Matthew chapter 3, we see the word baptize for the first time in the New Testament. And from this time on, if we just read forward in the New Testament, we'll see it 100 more times. Now, if something is mentioned 100 times in one book, you can be sure that that something is important. And baptism, the New Testament says, is important. John the Baptist, who was preparing the way for Jesus, baptized people to get their hearts right for the Messiah. Jesus himself here is baptized as an example for us. After the crucifixion and the resurrection and before the ascension, Jesus says to his followers, go into all the world and make disciples, make followers of mine, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Peter preaches the first Christian sermon on the day of Pentecost, and he gets to the end of it, and they say, okay, you got us. We've sinned. What do we do? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And then we read through the book of Acts, and every person who becomes a believer in Jesus has something in common. They're baptized. There was an elderly preacher who realized that some were attending worship services and they were not yet baptized believers. So he started preaching on baptism, and he preached on it constantly. Finally, the church grew tired of it, and they said, why don't you preach on another subject? And he said, well, just give me a text, and I'll work up a sermon on that text. And they said, okay, well, how about Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, okay, I'll preach on that one. And so the following Sunday, he stood up and he said, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made the earth 1/4 land and 3/4 water, which brings us to our subject today, water baptism. And you know, maybe that's too much, but it does keep coming up over and over again as we read our New Testament. I hesitate to put words in the mouths of the apostles or the early Christians, but I think if you had said something about an unbaptized believer to them, they would have said, what? What do you mean? Baptism was the common response to those who believed in Jesus throughout the New Testament. Biblical scholar F.F. Bruce says this, in New Testament times, no such thing as an unbaptized Christian exists. And he adds, it's plain that Paul, in writing Romans in this particular case, that Paul did not regard baptism as an optional extra in the Christian life. Baptism is important. Number two, baptism is immersion. If you look at verse 16 here in Matthew chapter 3, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. Does that sound like to you that Jesus was standing beside the water and John the Baptist reached in and got a little handful and threw it on him? Or that maybe John got a cup and dipped it in there? And it doesn't sound like that, does it? It sounds like Jesus was in the water. If he's going to come up out of the water, then he had to have been in the water. And I just want to stress that the word baptism means to immerse, to submerge, to dip, to dunk. It never meant to sprinkle or to pour. When Paul spoke of New Testament baptism in Romans chapter 6, he said, we are buried with Jesus in baptism, buried with him. Suppose you have a loved one that dies. And you pay the funeral home to bury them. And suppose they take that casket and they go out to the cemetery and they sit it down on top of the ground and they sprinkle a little dirt on top of that and call that a burial. Would you call that a burial? No, you know that a burial is when you put it underneath the ground and you completely cover it. And folks, that's what biblical baptism is. It is immersion. We are buried in that water. I've told you before about a dad who was a preacher, and they had a pool at their home, and he heard his two children playing, and they were practicing baptism. They'd seen dad do it many times, and they knew the terminology. You know, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And so the older sister was baptizing her younger brother there in the pool. And she got him, and she was ready to dunk him. And she said, "I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son, and in the hole you go." And she and jammed him down into the water. Well, she didn't have the terminology quite right, but she did have the technique right, didn't she? Because baptism means immersion. Number three, baptism is involved. Sometimes churches of Christ are criticized because people say all you want to do is baptize people. Y'all are baptisms are us. It's all you talk about. And I want to let you know that I'm not saying this morning that all a person has to do to become a Christian is to be dipped in water. New Testament doesn't say that, and we're not saying that. Baptism is a part of a conversion process. Baptism is, as we like to say, one of the steps of salvation. If you read the New Testament, you find that baptism is always connected with a faith in Jesus. And so you hear about Jesus and you believe the message. And then we see that baptism is connected with repentance. It's connected with confession. And all of these steps go together in the process that the Bible describes, the New Testament describes as salvation. And so we must have faith in Christ. When it's disconnected from faith in Christ, baptism is nothing but getting wet. I talked earlier about the disdain of much of the world concerning this idea of baptism, but there's also a section of the world that is performing kind of generic baptisms. Baptisms where God is not mentioned, Jesus is not mentioned, the Holy Spirit never mentioned. I was reading about this, and it told about one woman who lives out in California, Marin County, California. Tells you something right there, doesn't it? Some people are worried that California is going to fall in the ocean after an earthquake. I think it already has fallen in the ocean. That's another story. A woman in Marin County, California, had her baby baptized. And this is what she said about the baptism. She said, "I just wanted a larger spirit to guide our daughter, but we didn't want to get specific. I wanted all her bases covered. I want her to believe in angels and fairies and leprechauns." And you see, when there's a baptism that's not connected to faith in Jesus, then all you are is wet at the end of that. Baptism is involved in salvation, but it is not everything. It's part of the process. Number four, baptism is identification. Notice verse 17 here in the text. This is another way that Jesus' baptism is like ours. A voice from heaven, following the baptism now, a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son." And this is the voice of God the Father. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Do you see how Jesus' baptism identified him in a public way with God the Father? Paul would say in Romans chapter 6, in that discussion of baptism, that we are united with Jesus in baptism. Baptism is that point in which we become identified with Jesus. Remember that the Bible says that Christians are the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ, right? Baptism is the wedding ceremony. Baptism is that moment when I say to Jesus, "I am committing myself to you. I'm saying no to everything else out there, and I'm saying yes to you. And my life from this point on will be dedicated to being faithful to you and serving you and knowing you better and better and better and growing closer in our relationship together." The time that all of that begins is baptism. Many of you may know that Maverick was originally a man's last name. We use it as a term now, but it was originally a man's last name. Samuel Maverick was a rancher in Texas. And the thing that was unique about him was he did not brand his horses. And so if one of his horses escaped from his ranch and somebody else found it and branded it, then it became the property of that other rancher. And so after a while, these horses that were wild and loose and untamed and unbranded became known as Mavericks. And I want to tell you, before our conversion and before our baptism, we are Mavericks. We're wild, we're loose, we're uncontrolled, and we're unclaimed. And baptism is that point where God brands us and says, you are now mine. Mine to bless, mine to protect, mine to provide for, mine to save. Doesn't Paul say in Ephesians chapter 1 that when we become Christians, that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit? You know what that means? God puts his identification on us like a king would use that ring to make a seal. God puts the Holy Spirit on us so that he can identify us as his very own. Baptism is that point in which we identify with God. We become officially and forever his. Baptism is important. Baptism is immersion. Baptism is involved. Baptism is identification. And finally, baptism is influential. Jesus' baptism marked the beginning of his public ministry to God and to others. Baptism was a beginning for Jesus. After the baptism, then we see that he's tested, Matthew chapter 4, and we hope to talk about that next week. And then if you look forward in chapter 4, Jesus begins to preach for the first time publicly. And then Jesus calls his disciples, all of that following his baptism. His baptism was his initiation. It was the beginning of his service to God. In Romans 6, a passage that we keep mentioning where Paul talks about baptism, he says that baptism creates for a person a new life. It's when we begin to serve God and serve others. You know, many times, probably most of the time, when the New Testament mentions baptism, it's not really to try and prove that baptism is essential to our salvation. The readers already knew this. What it's doing is it's calling the believers to faith and to obedience. It's the biblical writer saying, hey, the fact that your sins have been washed away should motivate you to live a godly life. You're saved, the writers say. Remember your baptism? Remember that commitment? Remember that promise? Remember that salvation? You're saved. Now act like it. That's what Paul is doing in Romans chapter 6 when he talks about baptism. So baptism must be influential in our lives. We are raised up new creatures to live a new life. The Asian culture has traditionally believed that blood type determines a person's character and their personality. And they'll actually want to know what blood type you are. And if you're O, that means certain things about your personality. And if you're A or if you're B, that means certain things about your personality. They believe this. Many of them do to this day. Well, I can tell you that the Christian is blood type Jesus. We are covered in his blood. And you had better believe that the blood of Jesus influences our character. It changes the way we live for the better. So baptism, says the New Testament, is influential in our lives. As we started, let's end by reminding you, baptism is mentioned 100 times in the New Testament. And one of the things I would not want to do is come before God in judgment and say, Lord, I know it was mentioned 100 times, but I never got around to it. And that's why every time we come together like this, we want to extend the invitation. We want to say to anybody out there who's an unbaptized believer that we are ready to assist you in becoming a baptized believer. If you want to follow that plan of salvation this morning, then we invite you and encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.